So as mentioned, we've been studying through the book of Jude, and you can catch up very quickly if you weren't here yesterday, because it's a very short letter, one chapter. And throughout this book, he's been warning the church that there was a lot of false teachers rising up in the church, even in those early years. And in fact, our Lord said that that would increase even until the end of time. But God also revealed through Judah that the false teachers, their reign would be temporal, just as all our lives are temporal, and they would be one day brought to a day of judgment. They would not escape that false teaching. Today, in our modern day, there are many false teachers out there, but we shouldn't just jump to say, oh, there's a false teacher there, or just because they do something different. You know, the church is, has different ways of service, maybe different ways of doing different things within the church, different practices, traditions. Some are good, some are maybe not as good, but we can see that churches worship in a different way, but when they deviate from the truth of God's word is where the main concern and the thrust of Jude's message was about. And a few major signs of false teachers is really living a carnal life, really thinking of just this life now. And when people are living for just a carnal life and living for this world, they of course are not living for God. But much more, they're not looking for God. They're not looking for the return of Christ. And there are many churches out there that, well, they just want to, you know, give a very simple message, I would say. Not one that is necessarily drawing them closer to God, because they just want to, they're only concerned about the present age and, you know, how you just make you feel good or happy at this time. The greatest joy to the believer is that Jesus is coming and he is coming again. And so, in contrast to the false teachers that Jude is warning about in his letter, I thought this morning we would look at Titus 2, verses 11 to 15, which is a great encouragement for the church, for believers in Christ to be moving away from our old carnal lives that we all once lived, that carnal life that still tries to draw us back. And as we keep our focus on Jesus and expecting his return, that would draw you closer into a right relationship with God, because you are desiring to be prepared for his return. So if you have Titus and you want to look to chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. By grace, God has brought salvation to the world, just as so many other scriptures, John 3:16, declares. His salvation has appeared. It is revealed to man. But not all have received this message or believed upon the salvation of the Lord. And so God is working through his church to bring this message of salvation, desiring for people to repent of their ways and believe upon the Lord. For those who have received this salvation from Jesus, they have been cleansed by the Holy Spirit. And so we are to deny these carnal inclinations that is bound to or part of every human's life. And he speaks of turning away from ungodliness and worldly lusts. See, the false teachers, they aren't as concerned about those things. They don't want to talk about those things because they themselves are immersed in them. In place of those old nature desires, we should strive for the good things that are well-pleasing to God, as we have read here. To live for God, as he would move within us by the Holy Spirit. Sobriety of a clear mind, righteousness, and godliness. These are the things that God desires within the believer. For we are promised a blessed hope and a glorious meeting in the air with the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know if we're that generation that will meet that meeting in the air or will not die before that meeting in the air. For God has said in his word that there is that generation. But we are to be expecting it as every generation of Christian has, right from the very beginning. Because you think many of these letters were written to the church, that's 2,000 years ago roughly, or 1,900 years plus. And they were expecting the Lord's return even then. So how much more should we? And people can become complacent, thinking, well, that day will not come, as Peter wrote. But look at the example of Israel. For so long, it was the desire of Jewish women that they would bear the Messiah. And so every generation, they were desiring that. It was always a desire. Until finally, God chose Mary, blessed her with being that woman that would bring forth the Messiah into the world. Now, there wasn't anything extraordinary about her. She was obviously a woman of faith, loved by God. And I believe that is true of the whatever be that last generation of the church. It's not that there's anything extraordinary about it, but just that they were faithful, trusting in the Lord, especially as he drew near. And he says that he is coming for a bride that he gave himself for. He suffered and died and resurrected for, in order to purify and redeem us for himself. And so be assured, he is coming for his bride. And until that day, we are to be a peculiar and a zealous people, zealous of good works, and that we would be encouraging one another in the promises of God until the day he appears. And so as we live in the day that there is great false teaching, we must always weigh it against the word of God and know that his promises stand sure and steadfast, and looking for that day of his appearing. May God bless you and encourage you in your faith as you draw nearer to him.